much for being here and meeting us here tonight, God. And we just expect to see amazing things continue to happen as you move in this place. In Jesus' name. Orchestrated this night from before we even knew tonight was happening. So welcome. My name is Wendy, and I'm going to be sharing a word that the Lord has put on my heart tonight. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll get started. So Father, I thank you that you have put this word in my heart and in my spirit, and have walked me through this journey, and that I can share your goodness. And so I just pray that I would be your mouthpiece, that the things that I say would be clear and understandable, and that they would be from your heart and not mine. And I just thank you that they will fall on good soil. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! All right, y'all. So I'm not sure if you guys were here a few months ago when I spoke on First Wednesday and I shared just a bit of our testimony and some of the things that our family walked through, like one really tough life event after another for years and years and years. It seems like years. It was only 6 years, but that's a long time. But I kind of felt a little bit like Job, and I had something in common. So if you don't know my story and you would want to get to know me a little better, like, let's have coffee. But I'm not going to tell that story again. Because along the way, being hit one time after another, even fighting through hope, and knowing that the Lord had not left me, I kind of became stunted. Like, when you go through trauma, you kind of stop, almost as if you're cemented into place. And I had lost a little bit of who he called me to be. And so because of that, the Lord has been dealing with me in regards to my identity in him and my authority that I have in him and my purpose on this in this earth. Kind of a reawakening of sorts. And so tonight, I'm going to be vulnerable. Is that okay? And just kind of be honest about some of the things that I've been chewing on that the Lord has been walking me through. Okay? So the first thing is that in order to walk in authority, we must understand our God-given identity. Okay? Well, what is our God-given identity? Well, we're children of God. Like, first and foremost, we are his. And John 1:12 says, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So we have to believe him. We have to accept him as our savior. And then we're grafted into his family. It's that simple. In Romans 8, it says, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we're his children, we're his heirs. So I'm not alone in knowing that I'm his child. Like, his spirit has joined with me. And so anytime I doubt, anytime the enemy tries to come against me, I can be like, no, like, the spirit of God within me is affirming that I am his. And so can you. And so because we are his heirs, we have access to everything that he offers. You want to speak in tongues? It's yours. You want the gift of healing? It's yours. You want to have a gift of knowledge or wisdom to speak into someone else's life? It's yours. He has everything for us, right? Well, why is that? Well, an heir is a person who is inheriting or continuing the legacy of a predecessor. So we are continuing his legacy because we have been adopted and grafted into his family, okay? So just like a personal story that I want to share is we have a 17-year-old daughter, and her name is Anya. And a couple weeks ago, she wanted to get her hair cut. So we gave her a credit card so that she could go get her hair cut. Well, in our world, credit cards represent funds, finances, money, right? And they're safer than sending a debit card with a 17-year-old in case it gets lost. So our family was at Pizza Inn, and Anya hadn't gone with us because she was getting her hair cut, right? Well, after we had finished eating, she was complaining that we didn't have any food in the house, and she was starving. But, you know, we had bread and cheese and eggs and salami and all the things that you have to make food, but she just didn't want to make food. Anybody been there before? Right? And so she didn't even think to ask, like, hey, Mom, I still have your credit card. Would you mind if I went to the fast food joint and grabbed some food? That didn't even cross her mind, even though she had access to it. Okay? So how often do we not access what the Lord has for us? So I want you to hold on to that thought. We're going to come back to the rest of that story later. But in order to continue walking in authority, we need to know who we are, right? We need to know our identity, which means we're God's children, but we're also overcomers, okay? In 1 John 4, it says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people," talking about some false prophets, "because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." So regardless of what's happening in our lives, it's important to know and to remember that the Lord has already won the victory. We already have the victory, right? We've read the book. We know who wins in the end. And so holding on to that is crucial, because sometimes things don't go the way we want them to, right? Does that mean that we don't have victory? Absolutely not. It just means that God's ways are better than our ways and his plans are better than ours, right? And so we have to remember that. So a question I want you to ask yourself tonight, and I've had to ask myself this many times lately, is am I walking in victory or am I walking defeated? Because if I'm walking in defeat, I'm not walking in the Spirit of God, because he wasn't walking in defeat. He's walking in victory, right? He beat death in the grave. So think about that. A third piece of our identity that I have been chewing on is that I'm chosen. We are chosen. So we're children of God, we're overcomers, and we are chosen. So 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you received God's mercy." So we're chosen, and if we walk around like we're orphans, or if we're not special, if we're not chosen, then we're not walking around in the identity that God has called us to walk around in, right? Now, does that mean we get all arrogant, like, I am God's daughter? Like, no, like, we can't do that. That sounded really California Valley girl. You can take the girl out of California, but the accent has to come back sometimes. That's funny. So we have to remember our identity, right? We've been chosen, and we have to live that out and walk in that on the daily. And sometimes I have to remind myself when things are tough or things aren't going my way. No, this doesn't mean that I'm not chosen, right? This is just part of life, because we will have trials in life, but Jesus has overcome the world, and so we are overcomers too, right? So the first thing that we have to know in order to walk in authority is our identity in him. The second thing is that we have to realize that Christ is the source of authority. So Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So because Jesus was given authority, he was able, from the Father, right? He was able to delegate that authority to us. So as soon as we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, we take on his mission and his authority. And that's our purpose, right? The purpose is to go into all nations, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and making them come to salvation. Not, we don't make them, that's God's job. But we share him with them, right? And so whether our purpose is walked out in our families, in our workplace, in our school, in the grocery shop, at Walmart, in the Taco Bell drive-thru. Like, I've prayed for people in the Walmart or in the McDonald's drive-thru before. It doesn't matter where you are. You are an ambassador of the Lord no matter where you are, right? And so you have to walk in that authority wherever you are because Christ gave it to you. He delegated it to you and to me. So thinking back to that story about Anya, you guys remember the story, and we cut off the fact that, like, she didn't access it, even though she had access to it. Well, she finally accessed the credit card, and she was able to go get one of her favorite foods, which is Zaxby's, okay? So she knew what it meant to have access to the credit card. She just needed a reminder, and she needed permission to access it. It's a little bit different because we don't really need permission to access what God has for us, but it's a good world or earthly example of a heavenly perspective. So when I delegated the authority for her to go use the credit card, she did. And guess what happened? She was blessed because she accessed it. Okay? So you have access to the gifts of the Father, and he wants to bless you by allowing you to access it. And if you're not accessing it, you're missing out. Okay, so we have to know who we are in the Lord. We have to know our identity. Okay, we have to realize that Christ is the source of our authority. And we have to exercise authority through his name. So in Luke 10, it says, "The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, 'Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we used your name.' 'Yes,' he told them, 'I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you.'" I'm not saying go walk among snakes and scorpions. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that he's given us the power over all the things, right? That's what he says in Luke 10. And so for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, it's a huge relief that I can't and that I don't have to act in my power or lack thereof, right? Instead, I have the privilege of moving in Jesus's power because of my relationship with him, because I'm his daughter, right? Because you are his child. Because of this, we carry that authority wherever I go, wherever we go. And he's given me the authority to act in his name. So he's given you the authority to act in his name too. You can heal the sick. You can cast out demons. You can speak a word of knowledge into someone's life. Like, you have that authority to do so. And he wants you to. So, point number four. Authority must be recognized and acted upon. So it's not enough to just know that we've been given authority. Like Anya had the authority to access it before she knew she did. Like, that's a bad example. Never mind. we have to recognize that we have the authority, and we have to act on it in everyday situations, okay? So Acts 3, 6 through 7 says, "But Peter said, 'I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk.' Then Peter took the lame man," this is crucial, Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. So Peter knew the power of Jesus. He knew what it could do. He had personal relationship with Jesus, and he had seen God, Jesus, do amazing things. And so he now knew that he had access to that same power because that's what Jesus told him. And he believed him. He trusted him. So he was able, in this moment, to act boldly. And he got to be a part of a miracle that the lame man needed. But it wasn't until he helped the guy up that the man was healed. There was action behind his faith, okay? So it's not enough to just recognize it. It's not enough to just know it. We have to do it, right? Okay? So it's not about works. We can't change Jesus' love for us by what we do. But if we don't be his hands and feet, we're missing something. We're missing the purpose. We're missing the call. And Peter knew that sometimes our situations that we're against aren't just physical ones, okay? Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places." When we walk in the Spirit, we can notice the things that we're up against, and then we can act upon them with the authority given to us, and we get to be a part of amazing moments. We get to be a part of moments when we pray for the sick and see them healed. We get to be declaring freedom to the captive, right? We get to resist the enemy, and we get to speak life over dead situations in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. So I've noticed this shift, and maybe it's just in my life, but I think it's in the American Christian culture over my 40-some-odd years of life. And we're different than the early church in America, right? The early church moved in authority. They knew their identity, and they knew that Christ delegated his authority to them. And sometimes I feel like American Christianity has kind of become like a spectator sport, and we look down on the people who are walking in the authority, and we think it's weird and strange, and you fill in the adjective, right? But our purpose is that we would change the world for Jesus, right? He told us to go out and do these things. And in Mark, it talks about signs that follow believers. You know, you can handle snakes. You can heal the poor. You can heal the poor. Heal the sick. go read it for yourself. But for real, if you're not reading the word, you got to get in it. Because if you don't know the word, then how are you going to know the authority that God's given you to make people's lives change, right? To be, and it's not us making it change, making them change. It's that fact that we are the conduit that God is using to change the lives of people. And that's pretty cool. Like the fact that God chose me to be a conduit to speak his truth, like what greater honor is that? And that's not just me being up here. That's me having a conversation at the coffee table. That's me talking to people at Walmart or what, you know, whatever, whoever I'm rubbing shoulders with, okay? It's not just the platform ministry. It's an everyday life ministry, okay? And that applies to everybody here. So it's crucial that we renew our minds with God's word, right? We have to speak boldly, and we need his power, right, to speak boldly in today's culture because of the spirits that are at war against us, because of this cultural thing that's happening. They don't want to hear the word of Jesus, but we have to. We have to speak it, because if we don't speak it, how are they going to know, right? Like that's in Romans. So we have to speak boldly. We have to walk confidently. And I'm talking to myself too. Like, I'm still chewing on all this. I'm just sharing what God is telling me. Have to walk confidently because I know who I am. So we know who we are, but we know whose we are, right? So when the enemy tries to attack our identity, which stops us from walking in authority, we must combat the lies with the truth of God's word. Because the only thing that can counter a lie is the truth. Okay? And where does the truth come from? The word of God. Jesus' mouth, right? So God says, I'm chosen. He says, I'm loved. I'm valuable. I'm called. I'm never alone. And I'm victorious. Those are just a few of the things that he says about us. Right? You are chosen. You are loved. You are called. You have a purpose. You are valuable. You're not a mistake. You're not alone. So because of these truths, we can walk in authority. I can take authority over any situation. My kids are going crazy. I can take authority. That's hard as a parent sometimes, right? Like, but the Lord has given us the authority because he has placed those kids under our care, and it's our responsibility, right? If we see somebody who's struggling, I can take authority and I can go minister to that person. So I don't know what your situation is, but I really want to encourage you guys to rise up. Okay, tonight is the night to begin walking in authority. Worship team, you guys can come on up. So maybe you forgot whose you were because you've been through trauma after trauma after trauma, and or you've just listened to the lies that the enemy wants to speak. Maybe you have hidden the gifts that the Lord has given you, or maybe you don't know what they are. And you have to go on a deep dive and figure out what you work best in, what your personality is, or what God wants to do in you, because it's not always about personality. It's about calling and purpose and authority given to you, right? I would much rather be behind the computer, but God has said, Wendy, go, right? So we go, because that's what we do as believers. We listen to our daddy. So maybe there's a situation with your family that you need to rise up against in the name of Jesus. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Maybe you're grieving somebody. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, I want to encourage you to bring it to the Lord. Okay? Tonight is the night to surrender. Tonight is the night to repent. Tonight is the night to rise up. Daughter of the King. Son of the King, tonight is the night to start walking in authority. So if you need the presence of God to help you walk in authority, these altars are open. And if you, the worship team is going to play a few more songs. And I just encourage you and even challenge you to wrestle with the Lord in this tonight. You do not want to leave the place changed. Unchanged. You do want to leave changed. You do want to leave changed. Okay? So I stumble when I speak, but I can still speak because it's okay, right? It's the Lord in me. I have the authority to say the things, and I'm human, so therefore I'm not perfect. So if you struggle with perfection, tonight's the night to lay it down. So I'm just going to pray. And then I'm going to release the worship team. And we're just going to get to business. So, Father, I thank you that I am chosen, that we are chosen, that we are yours, and that you love us. God, I thank you that you change our lives and that you allow us grace to walk through this journey of life. God, let us not keep anything in our hearts, but let us lay it all out before you. Just meet us here and change our lives. In Jesus' name.